Right, harvest. It's a great day. It's great to thank God for all the stuff we've got. It's great to look at the food out the front here and think one of us probably eats almost all of that in a week. That's amazing, isn't it? So we need a lot of food, don't we? I can't believe the amount of food that we get when we go shopping, and by the end of the week, it's gone. So we use up so much food, don't we? And so we thank God for food. We thank you that he supplies it every day. Some people eat three meals a day. In a lot of countries, they only eat one meal a day. But we thank God that in our country, we eat three meals a day, don't we? Amazing. You know, we've got a lot to thank God for. So I thought I'd better do a harvest sketchbook today. And I hope you enjoy what I do. And I don't know if you know the story, but it's a story in the Old Testament. And stories in the Old Testament are very important, and often they're very complicated, but also they're also very interesting about real people. And before I start, I want to read something to you. And it's something Jesus said, and Jesus spoke in the New Testament, and of course, and his words were written down. And Jesus, when he stood in front of the people at the synagogue, they weren't very happy when he said this, because he believed he was the Messiah. Man, fancy that. But of course, he was the Messiah. And he read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he'd anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." That's great, isn't it? Jesus has come to set people free. If you're feeling a bit oppressed today, he's come to set you free. If you feel like a prisoner, he's come to set you free. If you're feeling poor, and for whatever reason, we can be poor in spirit, can't we, as well as poor financially. If you're feeling poor, he's got good news for you today. That's great, isn't it? And the people in this in Israel at the time of this time were facing some problems. And I'm going to read to you in a second, if I can find it. Just a second, I'm going to look here. There we are. Can we find it? That's it. But they were in trouble. I've got three bits of equipment here. That's a block of wood. And I'll put it on this metal rod. It is a metal rod. And you can see that once the cube is on that metal rod, it won't come off unless you pull it off the end. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it into here. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to push the cube up to there, and then I'm going to push, you can see there's a hole through there, and I'm going to put the metal rod through this box here and through the cube. So now the cube won't come off, will it? You happy with that? But the thing is, Jesus can do amazing things. And he can set the oppressed free. You see, Jesus is able to do the impossible. He can set you free. That's impossible, isn't it? But Jesus can set you free. And you, today, if that's the only thing you remember, remember that Jesus can set the oppressed free. And sometimes we all feel oppressed at different times, don't we? The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This is Judges 6. And for 7 years he gave them into the hand of the Midians. And because the power of the Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountains and the clefts and caves and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, The Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. Nothing's changed in Israel, has it? That's still happening today. They camped on the land and ruined all the crops, all the way to Gaza. That's in the news, isn't it? And he did not spare a living thing in Israel. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of the oppressors. I drove them out before you. I said, don't worship other gods. But you have not listened to me. But you know, although they didn't listen to the Lord listened to them. You know, the Lord hears our cry. If your kids cry out to you, however old they are, we were having a discussion yesterday with our elderly neighbour, and she said, you never stop being a mum, do you? However old your kids are, you always hear their cry, don't you? And you know, the Lord always hears the cries of his children, even when they're not doing it right. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophar that belonged to Joash, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. There was this guy, and of course you heard his name. His name was... His name was Gideon. And there was Gideon. He was doing something that wasn't very brave. He was hiding in a wine press. And he was threshing wheat. And you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat in the open. I'll put him in the ground. It might have been in the ground. It might have been up the top in a barrel. But basically, he was hiding from the Midianites. Because they were in the valley. There was thousands of them. They put themselves all over the crops. There were so many camels you couldn't count them. And Gideon was hiding. And then the angel of the Lord came. When you read the angel of the Lord in the Bible, it's probably the Lord Jesus. The angel of the Lord. I was reading in Revelation this morning. It says the angel of the Lord will come down in all glory. That's the Lord Jesus. And the angel of the Lord came down and sat under a tree that belonged to Gideon's dad. And he said, Gideon, hello Gideon, you mighty warrior. Gideon had a bit of a question about that. He didn't feel like a mighty warrior. And then the angel of the Lord said, God is here. Gideon turned to the angel of the Lord and said, I've got a bit of a problem with that. Number one, he don't feel like he's here. He feels like he's abandoned us. Number two, I don't feel much like a mighty warrior. I'm scared. I'm hiding. I'm just trying to get this little bit of grain to feed my family. How can God be with us? He used to be with us in the old days when he released us from Egypt, but he's certainly not here now, is he? I've got a bit of a problem with that. And the angel of the Lord said, listen, Gideon, you're going to rescue your people from these Midianites. And I'm going to do it through you. You might not feel like a mighty warrior, but you know God has put his seal on every one of you if you've turned to him. And he said, I'm going to rescue the world through you. Babs, through you. Alan, Bailey, through you. Auntie Anne, through you. June, sorry, Auntie Anne. You know, I said Auntie Anne, sorry. We've got an Auntie Anne in our family, that's why. As soon as I say Auntie, Anne comes out. Sue, through you. Yetsi, through you. We don't feel like mighty warriors, do we? I go on the street and speak to people. No, sometimes nobody listens. I did a great sermon in Covent Garden. No, Carnaby Street on Friday. 4 people listened. They were my team members. That was nice of them, wasn't it? Everybody else just flowed past. It was a great sermon. It was a great sketchboard. But people don't want to know. I didn't feel like a mighty warrior. But you know, God's hope is to rescue the world through us. And you know, Gideon said, I don't think that's true. But you know, if you're the angel of the Lord, listen, I'm gonna sacrifice to you. So he went and made some broth and he came back out and he put it on a stone. The angel said, put it on that stone there. And a great big, when the angel reached out and touched the broth, fire came out of the stone and devoured the food. And Gideon was just about to turn around and say, man, that was a fantastic trick. I mean, that trick I just did now, that was fantastic, wasn't it? Give me a round of applause. But hey, seriously, he wanted to give a round of applause. Man, that was a good trick. Fire coming out of a rock. But he turned around and the angel had gone. And then he thought, oh no, I'm going to die. Because I've seen the angel of the Lord. Because they believed if you saw God in those days, you'd die. And so now and God said to him, Gideon, you're not going to die. I've rescued you. And then Gideon began to believe. Well, he began to believe. And he believed there might be something in this. But he still had a little bit of a you're with me, Josephine. He had a bit of a doubt. Do you know, someone said this the other day. I was listening to a talk, and I think it's so true. If you live by faith, which is what we do, there will always be doubt. There's always doubt sneaking in. You say, oh, I've got to go and God, I think God's telling me to do that. But I'm not sure. I've got to change my job. I'm not sure if that's the right thing. I've got a bit of a doubt. I don't know. Can I tell people? Will people listen to it? If I tell them about Jesus, I've got a bit of a doubt. I've got a bit of a doubt if I'm any good. I feel like a failure half the time. Do you? You feel like a failure? I often feel like a failure. But you know, so we have a bit of a doubt. So when you've got faith, because we can't see it happening, we've got a bit of a doubt. And he had a bit of a doubt. So quickly I'll go through this. He took a fleece, not a fleece that we wear, not a fleece of wool, and he put it out and he said, God, if you're talking to me, if you're going to rescue everybody, I'm going to put this fleece out, and in the morning I want it to be wet, but I want all the ground to be dry. And he woke up in the morning, went outside, and sure enough, the fleece was wet and all the ground was dry. So surely that's a good sign, isn't it? By the way, I wouldn't suggest you put fleeces out. We talk about putting fleeces out, don't we? Oh, that's not a good way to talk to God. Just talk to God. You know, he's your friend. He's your father. He loves you. But, you know, you don't need to put fleeces out. But then Gideon said, God, are you not going to be angry with me now? God, would you mind me doing it again? Would you? But this time, God, just to make sure, will you do it the other way round? This time, can the fleece be dry and the ground be wet? I mean, that's a joke, isn't it? But you know, God did it for him. Isn't that kind? He woke up in the morning, the fleece was bone dry, all the ground around was wet. Gideon was struggling with doubt, wasn't he? And he continued to struggle with doubt. And I think that's what the life of faith is. We struggle with doubt. Say, God, I believe you. Help me with my unbelief. It's so difficult to believe. Should I pray with that person? They might not get healed. I was listening to a sermon the other day by my cousin's husband, and he said this.
Jesus said, the Spirit will come and he'll teach you all things. Do I believe that? All things. There's nothing that he won't teach you. Isn't that amazing? God comes into our lives and he promises to teach you all things, so he won't ever let you down. And so Gideon had that to learn. But Gideon that night decided to do something, because God told him to do it. I want you to go on top of the hill, you know, where they sacrifice with that pole. And there was a great big pole up there, and it was a Asherah pole. It was probably like a totem pole. And there it was on the hill, and there was an altar there to Baal, the god Baal. He was so scared that he didn't do it during the day because he thought he might get attacked by the townspeople. So he took some servants, because his dad was rich, and they took him up. He took him up at night, and they broke down the Asherah pole, and they broke it up, and he took a bull from his father's herd, and they killed the bull and they sacrificed it to the Lord, and he built a new altar. And in the morning, all the townspeople got up and he saw the pole had gone and a new altar had been built. And they were really angry, because Gideon had broke the mould. See, the mould was everybody fitted into the mould. If you tell people about the Lord Jesus, they'll get angry, because you're breaking the mould. They don't want to follow the Lord Jesus. They want to follow their own way and do their own thing. People get angry when you break the mould. But you know, there was someone else who broke the mould, of course, and they got so angry with him that they hung him on a cross. God came from heaven and said, this is the way to live. Not like that. I don't want you to be all religious. I want you to be loving and kind and grateful. I want you to listen to my Father. But they wouldn't listen to him. I said, we'd rather be religious. So they hung the Son of God on a cross. He broke the mould. And the Bible says that anybody who follows him will also be persecuted. So don't be surprised when people get upset. We've been praying that on Fridays people would listen to us when we preach the gospel. We don't yell at people. We're friendly people. As it happens, we did pray. Not many people listened on Friday. But one man was converted. He gave his life to Christ on the street. On Friday. He'd just come into the country, but God had been speaking to him. And he prayed with two ladies in our team. It was an amazing bit of teamwork. One lady gave him a leaflet. He carried on walking up the road. Another lady stopped him. And another lady joined in and prayed for him. And he'd become a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? My friend David, who's a busker, he's got his number. And he's going to recommend him to a church. But you know, it's not easy. Gideon broke the mould. And then Gideon gathered, because they all heard what he'd done. They even called him the one who fights or contends with Baal. They gave him this new name, Jerubbaal. And they wanted to kill him, but his dad said, let Baal fight for himself. Don't you fight for him. We should be following the Lord. And so Gideon made a bit of a name for himself. So when he called for an army to defeat the Midianites, he'd become very popular, because 32,000 people gathered and now he's in charge. Got to make sure he doesn't go to your head, haven't you? And God said, that's too many. So he said to the people, because even when you're feeling brave, you've got a bit of a doubt, haven't you? And if you join the army, is there a chance of getting killed? So soldiers get afraid.
So he said to the people, if you got any fear, you don't have to fight. Go home. How many people were afraid?
Twenty-two 22,000 people were afraid. Who's any good at maths? How many left? How many?
You have to speak up. I've got hearing aids. I'm deaf geezer. How many?
10,000.
Right, okay, 10,000. 10,000 left. God said, Gideon, there's too many. If we go and fight the Midianites with 10,000 people, the Israelites will go, we're pretty good fighters, aren't we? We sorted them out. Take them to have a drink, Gideon. So we took them to have a drink, and they, some of them crouched down and they're so thirsty because hot country, and they drank the water straight out. Nice hygienic way of doing it because you don't touch it with your hands. But 300 of them didn't do that. They got it in their hands and drank it like that. They lapped like dogs. Yeah? Like that. If I was at school, I'd say, all the kids, do that and lap like dogs. And they'd love that. But anyway, and God said, Gideon's thinking, oh, maybe he'll get rid of that 300. No, God said, take that 300 and send all the others home. Gideon's go, what? 300? And God said, now you can fight the battle. Now, you think after all this, Gideon wouldn't have any doubts, would you? But Gideon was still afraid. It's a scary thing fighting a war when you're completely outnumbered. There were so many people that invaded Israel, they were in the valley, and Gideon was up the top here, and he looked down and, man, there's millions of them. There were so many camels, you couldn't count them. He didn't have one camel. God said, if you want to know whether you're going to win the battle, go down to the camp at night, sneak in there. So he took a servant with him, and they sneaked down at night time. And now here we behind the tent. Ever been camping? You have to be very careful with the things you say when you're camping, because you can hear what's going on in the next tent. Because there's no walls. And he stood behind the tent, and a man said to his friend, I've had a dream. And the dream is this, a great big barley loaf rolled down the mountain and crushed all of our tents. And he said, this can be none other than that man Gideon we've heard about. He's going to defeat our army. Wasn't that kind of God to give that dream and to allow Gideon to sneak up behind just the right tent to encourage him? You know, God wants to encourage every one of us. My dad, he hated doing open air work, but I'm an evangelist. And you know, he used to come down to Woolwich and support me, not because he liked doing open air work, because he wanted to support his boy who was preaching. And I knew my dad struggled with that, but wasn't that loving? Wasn't that kind? You see, why do we go to our kids' concerts when they're playing some musical instrument? I'll go to one every Christmas and the kids all play the violin. You can imagine how difficult that must be at home, mustn't it? Only
primary school kids, but I'll tell you what, their band is fantastic. Very simple songs, but they all play together. A lot of the kids in the school play the violin. And all their mums and dads, they're there, they go, look at my boy, look at my girl, look at them. They're playing. And they give them a big round of applause at the end. Now, why are they there? Because they love their kids. They put up with all that screeching in their house when they're practicing. Because they love their kids. Why do you go and watch your kids' football matches? Because you like football? No. It's freezing cold. You'd wish you were at home. You go and watch it because you love them. Why did Josephine take Emmanuel to football loads and loads of times? In the freezing cold, when she could have been in a nice warm church. Because she loved him. God loves us so much that he wants to encourage us. He said, okay, Gideon, you're ready for the battle now. I want you to give you, I'm going to give you TTP to fight with. Oh man, Gideon must have thought, oh, that's a bit of a new explosive or something. TTP. Now, what I had to fight with, according to God, was a torch. A trumpet. And what's that? A pitcher, well done. Or a jug, a pitcher. You know, I don't know what the guy's thought. He's giving us TTP. They thought, here it comes. And out comes Gideon and he gives them all one of these. They what, three? They can hardly hold it. How am I going to hold all that? How am I going to hold my sword? These guns, it'll be a machine gun. Where am I going to put the machine gun? No, that's what we get. Hang on, Gideon. You can imagine one of the blokes saying, what are we going to do? Play him a tune while by candlelight while we give him a drink. No, he said, follow me. Follow me and we're going to win the battle. He split them into three groups of 100. He gave them a torch and they had to put the torch inside the pitcher. He said, when I do it, all follow me, all do it together. It's really important to do stuff together. That's why we come to church, you know that, don't you? To encourage each other. Because you can do so much more together. You know, they needed to put their trust in God. They needed to put their trust in Gideon. There was only 300 of them. They didn't have a real weapon in their hands. And they stood round the camp that night. And they did it at such a sensible time. Just as the watch changed. You imagine the guards, they're just getting up and they just changed their guard. They're just waking up. The others just gone to bed. Just as that happens, Gideon says, now. And they all smash their pitchers on the ground and hold up their torches. And trumpets probably didn't look like this. Do you remember, you know, Mike's got a ram's horn. It probably was one of them. And they blew their trumpets and they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And it echoed around the valley. And all these guys stood up and jumped up and thought, oh, there's an army coming towards us. And as they jumped up, and in the light, they saw one another standing up with a sword in their hand. Well, of course, it was their own mates, of course. But they saw someone with a sword. So what did they do? They struck him down. And you know, the Midianites started fighting one another. And they all were killing each other. And then they started running out of the camp because they were getting killed. And the Israelites chased them down the road. And they called their friends in, the 32,000 that were afraid. And they came and joined in and they chased them. And they chased them right out of the land. Gideon He really was a mighty warrior, wasn't he? And you know, God's made us mighty warriors, and he's given us some funny things to fight with. He's given us faith, and he's given us his spirit. And you know, that's enough. Because we can win if we take those tools and use it for the Lord. You know, what did the people need to do? They had to do this. They had to repent. They had to turn round, stop going their own way, and start following what God was saying. And the word came through this weak man, Gideon. You feel weak today? Then you're qualified to serve God. Because, you know, the Bible says that God chooses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. Not many wise, not many noble, not many people of good report come into the kingdom. He chose the weak things. Who did he tell when he came from heaven as a baby? He told shepherds and foreigners. And he's told you and me. And he wants to use you and me. I hope you're encouraged today. He did this to set his people free. And why did he do it? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, he did it out of love. Had his people done it right? No. They'd done it all wrong. Did he love them? He loved them to bits. And he'll never stop loving them. He'll never stop loving his people Israel. And he'll never stop loving you. He loves you and he cares for you. And he says, listen, you're a mighty warrior. Will you believe it? I'll teach you all things. There's nothing that I won't teach you. Isn't that lovely? You're in my family, and I love you to bits. I hope you found that useful. God bless you. He's here to set us free. He set me free, and he can set you free today. Now, have we got a song to finish with? We'll have a prayer to finish with. McQuinn, he's going to do our blessing. Can I just pray? And then McQuinn will finish with our blessing. Father, we thank you so much that you cared for your people Israel, even though they got it all wrong. They've gone off and served other gods. And sometimes we do that, Lord. We get all sorts of different ideas and we try and work life out for ourselves. But we just need to come back to you. Turn back to you. Repent. Turn back to you. And you'll always be there to help us. Thank you so much. You're so kind. We do love you. Amen.